God wants us to understand home and then neighborhood. And God wants us to do justice by home and justice by the neighborhood. Then God wants us to progress as a civilized nation to the point where we don't see our neighbor just as the people in the borders of our nation, but we see our neighbors as neighboring nations. And then treat them with the same treatment that God orders for the neighbor. You know, Prophet Muhammad, he put such a great importance on the treatment of neighbors. Peace, prayers, and the peace be on the Prophet. He said that God had urged him through the angel Jibreel so much concerning the treatment of neighbors that he said, I thought my neighbor was going to inherit me. Isn't that wonderful? You think the Prophet is just telling us something for no purpose? The Prophet is telling us that to condition us to be more conscious of treatment of the neighbor. And Islam has been charged by propagandists from the times of the Crusades with being a religion that advanced itself with the sword of the warrior. Far from being correct. Proof is now in the Western scholars, the Western historians, they are beginning to acknowledge it more and get away from that old lie about Muslim Islam being forced on people to agree with the fact of history, and that is that contact with Muslims who were good neighbors, good friends, good customers, just good people, is what brought about the great progress for Islam in this world. So Muslims, be aware of your obligation to keep to the best of Muslim behavior. Because if you don't, then you are the main obstacle to propagation of the religion. Our intellect, from its base, our home, which is rational activity and clear sense understanding. Why have I used this term home for this condition in the intellect? Because when you don't have that, your intellect is out of home. And when you're out of doors, you feel bad, don't you? When you're out of doors, you're lonely and miserable, aren't you? Yes. When you're kicked out of your home, buddy, you're in bad shape. You become miserable. Well, I'm saying to you that the home of your mind, the home of your intellect, is rational activity. Clear sense, understanding. And when you don't feel comfortable inside your head, when you are feeling miserable inside your head, it's because you're not doing the right thing or you're not the disposition mentally to favor the home of your intellect or the home of your mind, which is rational activity and clear sense understanding. Now, a lot of people, they'll do all kind of things, you know. They'll become such weird and such terrific acrobats of the mind, you know. Their mind will become such terrific acrobats to escape facing recognizing home. Rational activity and clear sense understanding. I've been talking with people about their primitive backwards. When I say primitive, I mean backwards, because a lot of things that are primitive are forward for this backward civilization. When I talk to people about things backward in their life, backward in their thinking, backward in their moral thinking, backward in their rational thinking, I often find that it makes them so uncomfortable, they will actually stand in my face and put themselves down so low just to escape dealing with the thing as they should deal with it. Or they'll become a dog and start barking, tell me I don't know how to talk. I become something else. You know, they'll transform themselves into anything to avoid continuing a rational conversation with me, because they are afraid to accept to go back home, to come back home to rational activity and clear sense understanding. I don't care who you're listening to. It could be my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, my friend, my co-worker, a member of my associates in this religion now, or a member of my associates in the past, the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan. I don't care what time or what people that we're looking at. If they're not respecting the need in your intellect for rational activity and clear sense understanding, you should walk away from them. You should tell them, look, I'm going where I can fare better. I'm going where I have better opportunities to be at home with my own senses. The intellect seeks to progress to higher elevations and to bigger horizons. I know by now you know that I'm placing more importance on the intellect as focus for identity than anything else. I'm sure that by now you know that. That I'm putting more importance on the intellect, the common excellent intellect that God created for all people, for us and all people. I'm putting more importance on that for identity than I'm putting on anything else. I'm sure you got that by now. The intellect seeks to progress to higher elevations and to bigger horizons. To bigger horizons. The most urgent elevations are 1, useful knowledge, and 2, a dignified position of responsibility in both the private and the public world. We can't be happy in our soul. Don't you know the goal of the soul is to see the intellect established where God wants it? That's the goal of the soul. The aim in the soul, the destiny in the soul, is to see the human intellect established where God wants it, where God intended for it to be eventually. That's the goal or aim in the soul. So whenever you're neglecting that, certainly you're going to feel bad. Your soul is being denied its main aim, its main objective, its main purpose. A man whose intellect is cultivated, a man whose intellect is elevated to great service for the whole world, that man derives such great joy from that achievement that he can walk among great people, shoulder to shoulder with them, have no money in his pocket, no bank account, have no wealth, no material assets, have no armies, no power. All he got is that achievement of his intellect that benefits the whole world. And he walk among them humbly. He walks among them humbly as he's a religious saint or something. He walks humbly among them. But he knows that he commands respect. He humbled his body because he know God blessed his intellect and he shouldn't be proud in his flesh. And he can't be made unhappy by you calling him poor. He can't be made unhappy by you calling him powerless. Because he know what God has blessed him with have made people rich, nations rich, people powerful, and nations powerful. You see where you can go if you just follow the route of the intellect to where God wants it? I'm not going to keep you here all day, don't worry. But it is a beautiful day. I think God wanted us to stay out here a little while. Now we want to come to the concept in our religion, Khalifa. This term Khalifa is found in the Quran. This term Khalifa is Quranic Arabic. Quranic Arabic. What am I saying by that? I'm saying that the great Arabic for us is not the Arabic the Arabs were speaking before revelation came to the great man, the example for us, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, the life and Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. Before that came to us, the Arabs did not have this language. They did not have Khalifa. They did not have Quran. They did not have the important knowledge that we need, our terminology that we need to get great knowledge and advancement from. That was not in their Arabic language. So don't let the enemies of Islam tell you, oh, you now have those Arabic names. No, you have Quranic names. Don't let them tell you now you have that, oh, that's Arabic, isn't it? Don't let them tell you that. Oh, that knowledge, that's Arabic, isn't it? Isn't that fiqh and that ilm and that Quran and that sunnah, that's Arabic, isn't it? No, you tell them, certainly it's the best Arabic, but it was not existing in the Arabic language until Allah revealed it to a man who had no schooling, Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on him. So we are talking about this term Khalifa that was not existing in Arabic language until Quran was revealed. Not that it wasn't existing in religious language, sure, it was existing in religious language, but not for the Arabs, because Allah says in the Quran that religion had come, or the mission had come to the prophets who belonged to a people that no warner had been sent to before, a people who were not connected with the Abrahamic tradition, or the Abrahamic religion. That's according to Quran. This Khalifa, let's look at it in its first meaning. Khalifa, firstly, literally, very literally, means going back, attention to the back, attention to the rear. That's what Khalifa means. Attention to the rear, going back, attention to the rear. When we read Quran, of the first mentioning of this term in the Quran, Khalifa, we read it in the context of Adam's creation. Adam's creation, the creation of our father, our first father. He was not only our first father, he was our prophet's first father. How do we know? Our prophet taught us that. Our prophet tells us that God took him on an ascension and on a travel, ascension and travel. And he was lifted up to the higher heavens. And he says that there he entered upon a plain and greeted Father Adam. And the report still exists where he said, "Assalamu alaikum, O Father Adam." He addressed Adam himself, "O Father Adam." So this particular word comes with the report in the Quran on the creation of Adam. May peace be upon Adam. And with the introduction of his creation, the angels were made uncomparable. The angels were made uncomparable, which tells us that angels were already in existence before the creation of Adam. The angels were made so uncomparable that they questioned God. Now, the angels weren't created to question God. They were created only to obey God automatically. Automatically. That is, without rational attention to obedience. I'm not speaking my own mind, my own thoughts. I'm giving you what is revealed in the Quran and in the teachings of the prophet. The angels were not created to question God. They were not created. Are you saying that man was created to question God? Yes. Man was created to question everything. They were created to obey God without any rational attention to that need. So, when God described this man he was going to create, the angels became greatly disturbed. Now, they said they obviously had power to see down the road consequences, down the road developments. They asked God, "What would you make? Something that would cause bloodshed? something that will cause bloodshed. So they feared the down the road consequences. But God told them that he knew what they knew not. See, our religion is quite different from most religions in that we do not make Satan too big to deal with. And we do not make angels too big for man to look at without still feeling that he has a special role in God's creation, a degree of dignity above that of angels. Yes. So our religion does not play those things up too much, you see. So God says, I know what you know not. God challenged the angels to prove that they knew something. And the angels were humbled when God exerted himself. The angels humbled themselves because that's their nature, to submit, to serve God. So they humbled themselves and they said, we have no knowledge except what you gave us. That's what the angels say in the Quran. We have no knowledge except what you gave us. Then God turned his attention to Adam, the man, that he was going to create on the earth and put in the earth. He said, Adam, tell them their name. I'm getting to the view of identity that we should have as Muslims of ourselves. That's what I'm getting to. To the identity that we should have as Muslims of ourselves. He told Adam, he said, oh, Adam, tell them their name. Now here in this particular context, we see God pointing to a superiority in Adam over the angels. Because the angels obviously could not even anticipate the coming of Adam, because God surprised them with his introduction of Adam. They couldn't even anticipate Adam's coming into the world, not to mention naming him. But obviously God points to a superiority of man, not that we are superior in every respect. No, the angels are superior to us in many respects. But in one particular respect, we have a superiority over the angels. So God is pointing to a superiority in Adam over the angels when he says to Adam, tell them their name. And when Adam told them their name, they all submitted except Iblis. That was the leader among the angels, the leader for the angels. His name in the Quran is called Iblis. He was not true angel in his creation, but he was serving in the order of the angels and acting in the role of angel. You understand? Serving in the order of angel and acting in the role of angel, and had no disposition except angel until he was challenged. When he was challenged, then he came back to his original self. He left his angel nature and came back to his original self, and he started rationalizing. And he said to God, I will not submit to this, that you are going to create from mud fashioned into shape. That you made me from fire. He prided himself in being superior to the man that God will make from mud, fashioned into shape, by claiming or saying he was made from fire. And we accept this kind of perception of Iblis, because Allah tells us that he made the jinn before he made a man, and he made them of a fire that gives off no smoke. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, Allah says of Iblis, Abba wastakbara. Abba wastakbara. Wa kana min al, what is it? Zalimin. He godly. He middle Catherine. Godly. Yes. Yes. He ever was stuckbara or para middle Catherine. Middle Catherine. He's also a middle godly. He's also a middle member. But the, what I wanted tonight now, you gave it to me. Thank you. Imam Daniel Prince. Wakara middle Catherine. He rebelled. He refused what God was ordering. He rebelled. Abba means rebel, resist, rebel. Wastakbara means see yourself as important. Come under the influence of your own self-importance. See yourself bigger than the issue at hand. That's what it means, wastakbara. You see? Wakara middle Catherine. And he became one of the disbelievers, one of the ungrateful. See, the word this to disbelieve in Quran, or unbeliever, or disbelieve in Quran, at the root of it is ingratitude. Ingratitude. You are not thankful. You are not conscious of what you owe God. See, that's what it means. So he became one of them. This is Iblis. The same Iblis later is seen as Satan himself. He used to lead the angels. Satan in the Quran once led the angels. And then he becomes Satan the devil. Satan the archetype, leading devil. The great devil. Satan the leading devil, or the great devil. Satan. Now, getting back to Khalifa. God says, I am going to put a Khalifa in the earth. A Khalifa in the earth. And God says to those angels, to Iblis, and those that didn't want to accept what God was going to create, the man, the human that God was going to create, God said to them, when, not now, when I have inspired him with my inspiration, or literally, when I have spirited him with my spirit, or when I have given to him of my breath, submit to him. Submit to him. Make sajda to him. Make sajda to him. Meaning, submit completely to him. What is the special worth of this creature that God is making, according to Muslim teaching? It is a Khalifa. A Khalifa is one who goes back, gives his attention to what's in the rear, gives his attention to what's behind him, gives his attention to what has passed, gives his attention to past history, gives his attention to past existence, past existence. He is a creature that when he faces problems, he doesn't only look at what's now and look where he want to go in the future, but he is more important for him to know that he is continuing the best of the past. That he is continuing the best of the past. That's a Khalifa. That is our best identity. That is our basic identity. That is our most essential identity. A disposition in the intellect to, when you're dealing with problems or wanting to achieve something, you don't just take the present and the future into consideration. But you have, more importantly, as a need in you, a need to continue the excellence of your past. Man should work for the future, yes, but he should do it with a respect for the past. I should work for the future of this community. But as your leader, and I know I'm the leader of most of you, raise your hand. I'm your leader who? Raise your hand. Stand up, those that you say I'm your leader. Let's see you stand up. Sit down if you don't say it. Stand up if you say I'm your leader. Thank you very much. Now, good. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I'm not only to work for the present and the future. No, if I am to be a worthwhile leader for you, I should give special attention to building upon the excellence of our past. My father and mother told me not to smoke. I haven't broke that habit since they put it in me. My mother and father told me not to drink, not to use drugs. I haven't broke the habit since they put it in me. My mother and father told me to be morally upright and truthful. I haven't broke the spirit and desire to be that way since they put it in me. My father told me not to copy the ways of this devilish world. I haven't broke that teaching since they put it in me. And I can go on and on and on and telling you of the excellence that Elijah Muhammad and Prayer Muhammad put in me. And you will see, I will tell you on every point, I haven't broke habit with that since they put it in me. And I thank God because it's only because of his special favor on me that I've been able to do that. But not only that, they also left wisdom. They also left direction. They also left achievement. They also left encouragement. They also left power. Power. And I keep with the best of all of it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us with a sense of duty to God, to our race, to our own personal dignity. He left us with a sense of duty to our family, to our homes, to our neighborhood, to our businesses, to our people in all of their healthy and productive life. He left us with a sense of obligation to it. I stand here and tell you right now, I have never in any degree left it. Just because I take on a new direction, I take up a new life, and proceed by a new strategy, and proceed in other direction that I was going in, don't think I left anything excellent in my past that I found or could see. No, I haven't left any of it, because that's the spirit in me, the spirit of Khalifa, to always give attention to the excellence of my past before I decide what I'm going to do in terms of correcting things or advancing things presently or for the future. And if we have that kind of disposition in our intellect, we are going to grow more powerful and more productive as a people. That's what is stirring in our souls to make us productive. That's what is stirring in our souls to make us feel unhappy and miserable when we neglect it. Understand that, and you understand a great wisdom. Now, going back to Khalifa, we pick up the term of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, and his teacher, Farad, original. To understand this, the teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was wise in metaphysics. If he himself wasn't personally achieved, individually, or personally achieved in this field that I'm accrediting him with right now, he at least had secret friends and helpers.
We'll be right back after these brief announcements. Thank you for your continued support for Imam W.D. Muhammad's ministry and this radio broadcast. Your contributions are sincerely appreciated. Send your donations to the Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Thank you. And now we return to Imam W.D. Muhammad.
End of side one. At this time, please turn cassette over to continue on side two.
The teacher of Elijah Muhammad was wise in metaphysics. If he himself wasn't personally achieved, individually, or personally achieved in this field that I'm accrediting him with right now, he at least had secret friends and helpers. who contributed to his great knowledge in metaphysics and helped him prepare his lessons, his teachings called lessons. English lesson C, number one, problem book, etc. He had somebody of great wisdom working with him if it is not all to be given to him. Now, that is something I know as a student. And by the way, one of the greatest metaphysical societies, institutes, existing today, recently sent me an invitation, a special invitation, to join them for a special meeting they're having. I'm not going. Not out of disrespect, I'm just not going. Why? Because their idea of the origin of man and their idea of God is in conflict with ours. I don't even care to answer their invitation. Because if I do, I'll make enemies. But when they give me an opportunity to say anything, I'll tell them just what I told you. Your idea of the origin of man and God is in direct conflict with ours. So I don't want to offend and become the enemy of people I think who like me from a distance. I want them to keep liking me from a distance, and I'll keep stomaching them from a distance. So we're coming to this term, special term, original. Let me tell you, those leaders who came to help African-American people, firstly, from among us. Do you think Farad was the first one who wanted us to come back to our original self? No. We had great intellects among ourselves who were also appealing to us to come back to our original self. Farad, he also did it. Those who did it, they had a better sight on what our condition is and or was and is, and what we needed to better the condition than the others that didn't have that interest in bringing us back to our originality. Originality. If the white man is a great race, if white civilization is a great civilization, it is because they were able to tap the originality of man. It is because they were able to benefit from a perception, a concept, a perception of man's originality. They were able to advance their life from a connection, or upon a connection, pardon me, with man's originality. That all men are created equal and are endowed with certain attributes. Among these are liberty and the pursuit of happiness. I'm not giving it verbatim, but you know what I'm talking about. You hear the introduction to the Constitution of these United States, don't you? Yes. Endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Rights you can't take away from them. You can't alienate them from those rights because that those rights are their God-given inheritance. That's what the preamble or the introduction to the Constitution of these United States upon it is the preface and the premise for supporting the Constitution itself. Do you understand that? Yes. And that's what that language says. So what is that saying? That's addressing man's originality. This nation could not build itself upon tribal identity. It could not build itself upon racial identity. It could not build itself upon European identity. And most of the founding fathers, practically all of them, and most of the people working for the cause at the time in its inception, in its beginning, were of European descent. Of white people of the Caucasian or the white race that we call the white race. But they could not establish an identity for the citizens of these United States in race or in tribal group or tribal identity. No. The only identity you will find established for the citizens of the United States is given in those words from the introduction to the Constitution that I just gave you. That is, that all men are created equal by their and are endowed by their Creator with certain rights that cannot be taken from them or cannot be made foreign to their possession or to them. Can't alienate them. You can't make them conform to what I say, oh, this is not yours. No, I'm akin to that. That's mine. That's what it means. You can't alienate you from those rights. That same language, that language I gave you is the language that addresses that common identity, the most excellent identity of man. The most excellent identity of man is the identity that God gave you when he created you. That's why the wisdom, metaphysical wisdom in the nation of Islam says, I am the original man. Man wants to know himself. That urge is natural in him. He will never be rested. He will never be comfortable with himself until he has a comfortable picture of himself for himself or for his intellect. So the nation of Islam method was to tell you, see, the nation of Islam was designed to claim itself to be the second coming of Christ. It was designed purposely to claim itself to be the second coming of Christ. So its method, its way of doing things, its perception, its language, its study, its analysis, everything has to be supported by what is perceived in Christian wisdom as the Christ, the Christ when he comes. So it has to be quick stuff. Everything has to be quick stuff. Say, when he comes, it'll be all of a sudden. You see, this is Christian wisdom. When he comes, it'll be all of a sudden. Quick moving, fast thinking, right down to the modern time. That's Farrar's language. You see, it has to be all of a sudden. So he's not going to waste a whole lot of time with even the doctrine. You see, he's not going to waste a whole lot of time with it. Where I go into all this elaboration, his method was just to say, you are the original man. And leave it like that. Or I forgot he did add something, because he saw that he might be getting in a little trouble when he said, you are the original man. He said, the Asiatic black man. He thought you didn't want to connect with Africa yet because you thought Africa was a continent of baboons and monkeys, etc. That is, the masses of uneducated blacks over here. And yet that was the thinking, believe me. When I was a boy, most of us African Americans are black, are Negro. We thought that Africa was a place inhabited by monkeys and baboons in our form. So he didn't want to waste a whole lot of time. But I guess he said, well, if I say Africa alone, they ain't gonna like that. So I better say Asiatic. So he said, original man, the Asiatic black man. But then he went on to exaggerate, just as those experimenters with metaphysical wisdom do. He said, the owner, the maker, the cream of the planet Earth, the God of civilization, the father of the universe, Allah, the only God, the black man. That's what he said. Now that's a quick charge. That'll take you around the corner, out the door of the house, back into it, and around the corner. And then no more running. But I say we pay respect to the best of what we have in the past, and we continue to keep it with us. We advance ourselves in the present and in the future upon the excellence of the past. Khalifa, continuing these comments on Khalifa now. Khalifa means going back to the originality, to what God intended to be the excellence of your life. Going back to it. It's like going back to a seed to have the future for that particular life. Don't you have to go back to the seed if you want the future for that particular life? If you want the future for human life, you have to use the human seed, don't you? If you want the future, the future for the apple orchard, you have to go back to the apple seed, don't you? Well, no need to continue this. I'll look ridiculous if I keep on talking. So the Khalifa means going back to the originality, going back to the originality. Some may ask, if God hadn't created man yet, if there was no human or no person yet created, what originality was there to go back to? Our originality was existing before we were on this earth speaking these languages. The most important wisdom or direction for us in perceiving or looking at or viewing this originality is its connection with responsibility. Responsibility. Before Adam, the angels were already, they were existing. But what were they doing to fulfill the responsibility that God wanted on the best of his creature? What were they doing to fulfill the responsibility that God wanted on the best of his creatures? They were not progressing wisdom. They were not progressing the world. They were not bringing about freedom, industry, great advancement for human society. They were not bringing it about. You say, well, the human beings weren't existing yet. I've said enough. I know what I said. They weren't doing anything to advance it. So God said, I'm going to create a man, a mortal, a flesh and blood human being. And Allah says in our holy book, if the earth had been populated with angels, he would have sent down an angel to be the leader for the people on earth. God did not send down no angel to be our leader. Understand that. God never missioned angels to be the leaders of men. You may say, well, the angel Gabriel led Muhammad the prophet. That's what you think. He brought a message from God to Muhammad the prophet. You might say, well, the angel of Gabriel came to teach the prophet his religion. It's given in the tradition. No, he came to teach you your religion. And the prophet made it all understandable. The angel didn't. The prophet did. The prophet made it understandable. So don't be too cocky, too hasty. Responsibility. God is saying he's going to put a responsible creature in the earth. Now, how much responsibility is going to be given to that creature? The amount of responsibility that's given to that creature is what makes that creature so special and what makes him so dynamic and what makes him so productive. The amount of responsibility that's given to that creature. God created man and then told man, Sahara lekum, he made a service to you, subservient to you. Sahara lekum, ma fi samawati wal ard. He made utility, subservient to you, made it to yield its utility. You know what yield means? Give up. Made it to give up its utility, its benefits to you. What did he make to yield its benefits to man? He says it. The skies and the earth. The skies and the earth. God says, I created the man and I made what's in the skies and what's in the earth to give up its utility to him. Can't you see that kind of idea? Firing up the intellect of the founders of this great nation? Can't you see that kind of idea? Firing up the intellect of great industrial powers, great industrial ancient kingdoms? Can't you see that idea? Firing up the intellect of the African American if he would accept it? Yes. If the African American would accept and believe firmly with his heart and with his soul, with all that is in his being, that God created him Khalifa, and that God, in making him Khalifa, made him the most burden-bearing, responsible creature in creation. Made him, I repeat, the most burden-bearing, responsible creature in creation. God didn't make us to just carry poor black children, hungry black children, ignorant black children, sinful black children. That's burdened us so much now we can't do anything. God made us to carry a poor black world, a poor sinful world, a poor ignorant world. God made us to carry the responsibility for the utilities that can benefit us in our life, that are in the skies, that are in the earth. God made us to draw out the utilities that are in the mineral mines, that are in the atom, that are in the nature of the atom. God made us to draw out the utility that's in the skies and in the earth. If you believe that with your heart and with your soul, with your whole mind, I don't care what state you're in now, you can be a poor black dupe of this society. If you accept that in your mind, right away change is going to become start. Right away change is going to start in your mind. And the more you hold on to that, and the more you believe in that, the better your condition is going to get. And one day you're going to be just as bold as I am and asserting your authority and your identity and your God-given dignity to say, I don't need any white man to guide me to the future. I don't need any black man to guide me to the future. I don't need any Arab to guide me to the future. I don't need any Indian or Pakistani to guide me to the future. God has blessed me with the germ in my mind that will guide me and also establish me. Yes, I'm telling you what I know from personal experience. I don't tell you I believe that I can lead the African-American people to establishment in America. I tell you I know I can lead the African-American to establishment. It ain't no belief. It is known with me. And I'm not talking out of my head. I'm not under any spirit. I'm not excited. I'm as calm as I ever was. And the proof of it is, just study those who support me and have faith in what I'm doing. Study them. Look at their condition 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Look at their condition now. If an examination could be made of them and compare them with other African Americans, they'll find that my people are the most potent and the most productive people in Africa and America. To tell you how good I feel about myself and you, there'll be no collection today. Any collection you make today, it'll be for the Harvey community of Muslims. It'll not be for me. And I'm in bad shape financially. I don't get in this condition often. But I'm going to refuse everything you give me. I'm going to refuse it and give it to the Harvey Muslim community here. I'm not saying don't make a collection. Make a collection. Because people, they feel, they appreciative. And something in their soul tell them, give. And give them the opportunity to do what is good for their soul. And you take it, and then you do what is good for your soul. Use it wisely, morally, and correctly. So you do that all the time, Brother Imam? No, I do the same thing you do. I spend money on the no good people sometimes. Now, let me continue and conclude here today. We are not away from the problem, the stressful condition of seeing so many youth and so many people without jobs, of seeing inferior or inferiority in the performance of our government, signs of inferiority, a superior nation showing signs of inferiority in their behavior, in their performance as a government. We are not away from the problem, of economic failure in the world, in Africa, and even in America. There's much economic failure here. We are not away from the pain of seeing the drug traffic and its toll on the best minds of our people, our youth. We are not away from the serious problem of crime and criminal behavior in this society, etc. However, increasingly, leaders and organizations of African Americans are emerging to impact this society more and to assist more in assuring we all have for ourselves and for our children who inherit us a healthier, more just, and more productive America and world. I advise, in my conclusion, I advise all spokesmen, all spokespersons for the betterment of American people, especially for the betterment of African American people, to not just keep singing the blues and pointing to problems and defects and shortcomings and making ourselves a people who give way to the spirit of bitterness that takes over our life and deprive us of the spirit of production. I advise them to come away from so much negativity that glooms up the life and darkens the life so we can't see the great achievements we have in the past and the great achievements we are making presently in spite of conditions, in spite of politics in Washington now, or in the society now, in spite of the party, or the party choice, in spite of all of that, we have people that are doing marvelous work. And our mind, the mind of the African-American people, being favored by our Creator, the one God, to recognize that African-American people are not to just ask for help, but are to offer help to themselves and to others. We are coming into a greater sense of responsibility as a people. And I admire great leaders and great intellects. Some of few of them that I've named to you, most of them I have not named to you, that are living presently. We have great people in the church, great people in this society, and great people in the mosque. And I would like for you to think that I'm one of them. May God bless us and guide us and forgive us our mistakes. Show us the way always and not forsake us. Empower us with faith in Him, first of all, with commitment to Him, first of all, obedience to Him, first of all, pride in serving Him, first of all, so that we will come into our state, the original state, and be truly the original man and the original woman. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
You've been listening to the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. You are cordially invited to visit your local masjid or Islamic center for Friday Jumar and Sunday Talim. Check the Muslim Journal newspaper for the dates and time in your area. Tune in again for the world broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.